distance I see beyond your view. Surely trusting, faltering one. Do you trust me as your rock, while the storm still rages on? Every day new mercies grow, every night I give a song. Since I reign as Prince of Peace, set your mind on things above. Everlasting strength is mine, fully trust.
Let's go to Deuteronomy, Old Testament, fifth book in your Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 4. It's been good to have Aiden here for a few weeks. He'll be headed off to school, I think, tomorrow. And so it's been good to have him. I mentioned Maddie headed out tomorrow as well, and others who have already left. It's been good to have Santino Malucci here with us for the summer. He'll be starting school soon, and it's been good to have some of these young adults here in our church this summer. Deuteronomy chapter 4. If you found that, let's stand together. If you're able to stand in honor of God's word, please look along as I begin reading in verse 8. Moses is speaking here, and Moses says, "And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day?" In other words, the children of Israel had adopted for their national laws the laws that God gave them in the Mosaic Law. And it made a great nation out of the nation of Israel. By the way, it made a great nation out of the United States of America, too. Verse 9, "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life." Notice this, "but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons," your children and your grandchildren, "especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children." I want to speak tonight bring a pastoral message on the subject schools open. This will not be an expository message in the sense of going down through the passage here and expounding on these verses, but school doors are opening here on Tuesday, and I want to just bring a message tonight to kind of set the tone for what hopefully will be a good and full school year. All right. Father in heaven, bless us tonight. Open our eyes, please, to behold wondrous things from your book. And Lord, may you help us tonight, please, as we look forward to a tremendous school year at Faith Baptist Academy. And I pray, God, for those who are teaching their children at home, thank you for their obedience to you in continuing to teach their children the fear of the Lord. I pray, God, that you'd help us as we endeavor to do that here, and we'll give you the thanks and glory for it. Please be with the message tonight. May we all learn from it, even those that don't have kids in school. I pray in Jesus' name, and amen. You may be seated. I don't know who's more excited right now the children who are starting school or the mothers who are sending the kids back to school. I was talking to the two young ladies from Olivet this morning, Ellie and Mikey, and they were both saying how long this whole break has been. Olivet, you might remember, went on spring break, and then before they returned is when they closed the school over there and went remote learning. And so they have been out of a school setting since, what was that, March, the middle of March. And so they were really anxious and they were glad to be back in their school classrooms. And I think a lot of the students that go to school here on the property are feeling the same way. There's an, if you paid attention at all to just a few news headlines, there's an interesting talking point that has developed concerning remote learning and the teachers of the public school students. Matthew Kay, who teaches English at the Science Leadership Academy, which is a school in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. It's part of the Philadelphia public school system. He made these comments recently about teaching remotely. I quote to you. So, this fall, virtual class discussion will have many potential spectators, parents, siblings, etc. What does this do for our equity inclusion work? Talking about the teachers. He acknowledged in his comments that damage could come from the left, but his main concern are conservative parents. He says this, if we are engaged in the messy work of destabilizing a kid's racism or homophobia or transphobia, how much do we want their parents piling on? That's what he said. In other words, while they are indoctrinating millions of students, 50 million last year enrolled in public school across America. While they're indoctrinating school kids, and that's what they're doing, they're not teaching very much. They're indoctrinating with their agendas. He is concerned about a parent with traditional values and morals that might overhear what's being taught in the classroom. In Rutherford County in Tennessee, a school district there asked the parents to sign a form agreeing not to eavesdrop on kids' virtual classes over concerns that they would overhear confidential information. Now, after tremendous pushback from the parents, they decided, well, parents can tune in, but they can't record the class for future viewing. Well, thank you very much for giving parents the privilege of tuning in. Now, this is my question tonight, folks. What do the public schools want to hide from dads and moms? What do they not want the parents of their school children to know about what they are teaching? And I believe the answer to that question, we only need to look at the streets of Portland and Seattle and New York City and Minneapolis and Chicago, because for years now, the public schools, which, by the way, are funded by our tax dollars, the largest line item on my property tax bill is the public school system. The second largest item on my property tax bill is the public school retirement system. They're the number one and number two charges as far as the amount of money. So we're funding this. And for years, they have been rewriting history. They have been apologizing for America instead of being grateful for America. They have pushed inclusivism and tolerance and moral relativism and etc. And don't forget the entitlement agenda. You know, we should have what they have. They have had it long enough. It's time for us to have it. And the products of those schools are making up the ranks of Antifa all over our country right now. And that's the honest truth. Now, it's true, I will say this, and please, parents, don't get offended. It's true that parents can be the most difficult part of a teacher's work. Brianna, I sat down with Brianna Heyman last Monday. Was it Monday you came over? No, it was Monday. And I said, the most difficult part of your work is dealing with the parents. Aren't you glad to know that? I mean, doesn't that make you feel good? It's truth. It's truth. And you know what? That's okay. Parents feel deeply about their children, and they should. They should be very concerned about what their kids are being taught. Very concerned about what's going on in the classroom. That being said, parents are expected to oversee what their children are being taught. Now, Deuteronomy is the preparation book for the promised land. It won't be long until the children of Israel are crossing over the Jordan River into the land of Canaan. And Moses is going over some things here in the book of Deuteronomy to prep them for being in the land of Canaan. And one of the things that he goes over and over is the responsibility of parents to teach their children. You got it here in chapter 4, verse number 9 and 10. We read the text there. Turn over to chapter 6, just a couple of pages. Turn over to chapter 6, same book, and look at verse number 7. Chapter 6 and verse number 6. Moses continues and he says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Look at chapter 11 and verse number 18 and 19. Turn over to chapter 11 again. Moses is continuing in his speech, preparing the children of Israel to go into the land of Canaan. Chapter 11, verse 18. "Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes, and ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." So, in three different passages here, in the first 11 chapters of the book of Deuteronomy, you find Moses over and over again saying to the children of Israel, "Hey, you learn the law of God. You get it in your mind. You get it in your heart for the express purpose of teaching it, not only to help you live right, but to teach your children how to live, to teach your grandchildren how to live." And I'm not going to go into an exposition, as I said earlier, of all of these passages, but I want you to see the emphasis of parents teaching children. Now, I get it. This is in the context of parents teaching their kids the spiritual lessons and truths of Scripture. I get it. Okay, he's talking about this law. He's talking about Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's what he's talking about. But my point is parental involvement. Parental involvement. Hands-on involvement by parents when it came to the education of their kids concerning the law. And by the way, church, remember back then, there were moral laws, there were ceremonial laws, there were ordinances that had to be kept. They all had, you know, significant meaning to the children of Israel. And I want to tell you something. You know what Moses did? He laid the burden for the transfer of truth on the shoulders of the parents. He said, "You learn it, and then you teach it." Now, somebody else might have more light on this than I do. I've never studied or researched, you know, when did mathematics, this teaching of mathematics begin, or when did the scientific study begin to take place? We know language study took place. The teaching of language skills had to take place early in the history of humanity, human civilization, so people could communicate with each other. That's a given. Had to be. We know the history of the nation of Israel was to be taught from generation to generation to generation to generation by the parents and the elders of the people. But were there classroom type settings, or were there schools in Jewish culture? I'm pretty sure that there were. The Bible even uses the word college. And when did that all begin? I don't know all the answers to all of those questions, but I know this. And I only took you to Deuteronomy. Didn't take you to Psalms. Didn't take you to so many other places in the book of Proverbs. I know this above all else. It is obvious that the parents were to shoulder the burden and responsibility to either educate or make sure that their kids got educated with the help of other people. One or the other. They had to shoulder that. Now, the biblical view of educating kids is far different from Matthew K. or Rutherford County in Tennessee's world view. And as best as we can, and we're not perfect, but as best as we can here at this school, we're going to try to follow the biblical view. Because Dad and Mom, we're here to help you. Help you. Not work against you. Help you make sure your kids get a biblical education. And let me say this. Our curriculum is open. Come take a look at it. Go through the books. Our classrooms are open. Now, there's some safety protocols and some common sense policies just to ensure safety in the school building. But we're not trying to hide. Our teachers are not concerned. They better never be concerned that something they teach will reach the ears of helicopter parents. Helicopter parents. No, what they teach is how to do math correctly, what to know about history, how to understand and communicate in their language, attempting to understand the nature of science and the way that it's taught and what is taught in all those core curriculum areas is not closed to the... We're not afraid of any parent overhearing something that's taught in the classrooms at Faith Baptist Academy. None of them. We will also teach them there is only one God. We will teach them that He is a three-person God. His Father, Son, and Spirit. We will teach them that the Son came to earth to die for their sins, was buried, and rose again the third day for their salvation. We'll teach them that the Holy Spirit is their comforter, their guide to all biblical truth. We will teach them that the Godhead created the heavens and the earth in 6 literal 24-hour days. Evolution will not be even taught seriously as even anything other than just a blown-up theory. The Godhead created. They will be taught there is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to avoid. They'll be taught that the God who created them and saved them expects them to serve Him. They'll be taught that. They will be taught to love their country. They'll be taught to respect the flag. They'll be taught that capitalism is biblical and socialism is evil and wrong. They'll be taught to respect their authorities, dad, mom, grandparents, pastor, teachers, and police officers. That's what they'll be taught. They will be taught their constitutional rights, the first of which is the freedom of speech, and also includes the freedom to assemble for worship. That's the first one. The second of which is to bear arms to ensure their safety. We believe that so much that every 2 or 3 years, we just have a whole class on firearms and firearm safety. And guns are brought in, unloaded, torn apart. The kids are taught how to handle them, how to shoulder them, how to use them. All the parts of the guns are described. They're taught how to clean them. They take them out and they shoot. And the ones who love it the most are the females. They love it. They love it. And our police department understands and is behind it. They will be taught that God used imperfect men to birth and found what would become a great nation under God. The men who founded this country are not to be deified, but they are to be respected, and that God used them in spite of their imperfections. They will hear in Bible class and in chapel that lying is sin, that laziness is sin, that cheating is sin, that stealing is sin. Yes. The word sin will be used in Bible class and in chapel. They will be taught that there are two genders and only two genders. And those genders are given to you by God's own hand at conception. And you will either be male or female. And you'll be that all through your life. They'll be taught that. They'll be taught that abortion is murder. That alcohol beverages need to be abstained from completely. They will be taught that although wisdom and knowledge of truth and right and wrong is absolutely necessary for their own good, that they have a responsibility before God to share the truths they learn with others who don't know God. You know what they're going to be taught? They're going to be taught a biblical worldview. That's what they're going to be taught. And I would hope those of you, and I have full confidence in those of you that are teaching at home, you will do the same. You'll be teaching your kids a biblical worldview. Now, parents, all things are open to you. We are not trying to hide anything from you. In fact, we expect you to look at their papers, to monitor their progress, to help them at home, to back and enforce the policies that are necessary when teaching 11 or 14 or 12 kids in one classroom. It's not just one-on-one. Your child and a teacher, there are 11 kids in there. There are 14 kids in there. There are 18 kids in there in junior high. And 18 kids, I believe it is, in senior high. And you know what? We have to make policies that work for teaching a group. And we hope that you'll understand that and back that up as we teach a biblical worldview. Now, with all of that in mind, I want to make four statements tonight for the parents of Faith Baptist Academy, and I don't think it'll hurt anybody to hear this. Now, number one, I hate to tell you this. Your child will do something wrong this school year. I know that comes as a shock to some of you. It just does. That doesn't compute within, but it happens. Okay? And see, Toby doesn't have any problem believing that. Amen. And he got a big grin on his face. Others of you are looking at me like you've got to be kidding. But no, I'm probably not kidding. You know, your child will probably do something wrong this year. You know, one of the most incredible statements in the Bible was made by that man Job in Job chapter 1. We've talked about it before. Job had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and the way the Bible reads, it sounds like on all of the boys' birthdays, they had a great big sibling party. All the kids got together for a birthday party at whatever brother's house it was. And the Bible says, and I'm not going to turn there and read it, I'm not going to quote it exactly, but let me give you the essence of what the Bible says there, that after they had those birthday parties, Job would always offer a sacrifice for his children. And this is what he said, and I quote, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Funny he never mentioned the daughters. Just the boys. So after the birthday party is over and the big celebration, he offers a sacrifice and says, "God, I want you please to accept this sacrifice on behalf of my sons, because I know they were partying yesterday, and maybe they had a little too much fun and got carried away, and it just might be that one of my boys cursed you and sinned in their hearts." That's what Job did. You know what Job understood? Job understood the potential his boys had for doing something wrong. And you know, in the course of a school year, it's very rare. Now, I marvel sometimes. We come down to elementary awards chapel and I read, or I don't read, I sit there and I listen to Brother Bragg read from the first and second grade, kid after kid after kid after kid gets the no infraction award. And I sit there and I just say, "You've got to be kidding. No infractions? None? Maybe my expectations are set too low. Maybe my expectations are more real. You've got to be kidding me." It very well is possible that your child could do something wrong this school year. Look, this is not a new thing for us. School's been opened here since 1995 on this property. And I'm going to tell you something, in dealing with parents through the years whose children have done something wrong at school, every once in a while we're met with like this mentality of, "What? No way. Yes, way. Lots of ways. Believe me, lots of ways." And that's not doing your child, your son or your daughter, any discredit, okay? So please, do not overreact when they do wrong, and the manner of blaming the teacher and how it was all handled. You know, sometimes It's just the child did wrong. Can you handle that? Can you handle that? That'll help us have a good school year. Number two, let me say this tonight. Do not believe everything your child tells you that happened concerning a particular incident. By the way, this is not just good for school. This is good for any parent of any child in this room at all times. You don't believe everything your child tells you that happened concerning a particular incident. And here's why. Kids know how to slant stories. They know how to use emotion to manipulate their parents' reaction, to get the reaction from their parents that they know will best benefit them. Come on, you were a kid one time. You know how that works. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 13 says, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. I guess one of the most famous TV game shows in history, and I'm not trying to boast or anything, I have never watched the program Let's Make a Deal. But I know it's a big, big program as far as the game show goes. So I want to make a deal with all of you parents tonight before the school year begins. If we won't believe everything that we hear about what happens at your house, if you won't believe everything you hear that happens at school. Is that a good deal? Can we make a deal? Because it really gets interesting sometimes at prayer request time. Am I right, kindergarten teachers and first to say, who's got a prayer request? Oh boy, here we go. You have no idea what's coming. Pray for my, okay, mama. Okay, next prayer request. It happens once in a while. What do you think? You know what? They're a child. They see things through the lenses of a child's age, understanding. So we won't believe everything they say that happens at home. If you don't believe everything they say that happens at school, I'm not telling you not to check into things. I have nothing to hide. But you got to be careful about everything that your kid runs home with. Wendy was here this morning. Did Wendy stay for the... Wendy, do you remember when you were driving the school bus from here to Dwight? No, you don't remember that. That was such a bad memory. You put it out of your head, right? And you had all those kids on there. You remember picking up the Gardner boys over in Custer Park? Okay, yeah. I talked about that not too long ago, right, Tim? When Danny was here, right? So I was waiting out here in the parking lot. This is the old building days. Still, remember the split rail fence that ran along the east side of the church, the old church building? And I'm parked over there, and the bus is coming in, you know, and it pulls in. And here comes Ben. He comes roaring across the parking lot, and he jumps in the back seat. Dad, Mrs. Gilbert. Hush. And I got out of the car, walked across the parking lot, front of the old gym. She had parked the bus. And I said, Wendy, did you have a problem today with Ben? I don't know if you remember that incident or not. There were probably more than one. And maybe I need to offer a sacrifice tonight. Say, God, maybe. And it had been some misbehavior or something. And you had punished Ben by doing something. And I didn't listen to a word that he was trying to work me. He got to me before Wendy did. And he's trying to work me. He's trying to set me up. That's what he's doing. You say, no. Yes. Yes. And if my kid can do that, yours can too. Yours can too. So be careful about believing everything your child tells you that happened concerning a particular incident. Number three, let me say this. Your child may not excel in learning or may struggle in some areas where other kids don't. And sometimes parents take that, it's offensive that my child is not excelling. Or that my child is struggling. People, can I try to help you tonight? Not excelling or struggling is not your main concern. Are they trying? Are they working? Are they attempting their best? Are they working at it? Are they working? Are they trying? Look, pushing your child to be at the top of the class for the sake of being at the top, that's motivated by pride. That's all that is. And I'm not against people who are pushing their kids to do well. But if you're pushing your child just so that he or she is at the top of the class for the sake of being at the top, you're doing your child a great disservice. Are they working? Are they trying? Are they giving it their best? The expectation of your child working diligently and trying hard and getting the best grade that they possibly can get. That is something that will build character and go with them all through their life. Pushing them to just excel because you want them at the top. It can be very damaging to a child's psyche. And it's just motivated by pride. That's all it is. You know, I've made mention of this before, but I'm biased. I'm prejudiced. But for 30 plus years, you have had a wonderful pastor's wife. She is a wonderful lady, and I am blessed to be married to her. And I'm not talking down about her. I would never do that, and you know that. But she was not what anybody would call an excellent student. She struggled to make B's. She struggled to make C's in some classes. She's not stupid. She's a very learned and wise lady. She's been a wonderful wife all these years. But she learned character. And she learned to do her best. And she learned to turn her work in on time. And she learned to do the very best she could to get the grade. And I'm going to tell you something. That is gone with her. I've watched her sew. I've watched her teach herself how to play a flute. After turning 60 years of age, teach yourself, and then teach yourself a little bit. Then Valinda was the main teacher, but you were over 60, right? See, character goes a long, long way. Work ethic goes a long, long way. It's not necessary. You get offended because your child's not at the top. You get hurt feelings because your child struggles. Struggling is not the issue. If they're not being lazy, if they're not shirking their responsibility, if they're doing their work, if they're studying, if you're going over things, but it's just not clicking like you want it to click, you know, maybe that child just isn't gifted as intellectually as you want them to be. But what is their character like? That's what matters. Now, it's possible to have both. Possible to be very, very smart and have tons of character. If you didn't know, they had the graduation on Friday night up at Providence, and Mindy Reardon got the valedictorian. Is that what it was? No. Highest GPA, 3.97 out of a potential 4. And Brother Gomez said, who gave this girl an A-? He said, 1 A-. And it was in the class, Women Used of God. It wasn't chemistry, physics, you know, advanced English or whatever, any of these difficult core subjects. No, Women Used of God. A-. It was the greatest statement. Brother Gomez was giving the award out. He said, who gave this girl an A-? I thought it was great. Well, she's not only smart, she has character. She has character. That's the most important thing. And if they have the ability to have character and a 3.97 grade point average, and all of us that were there wanted to holler out, FBA, FBA, FBA. If they can have both, that's wonderful. But if it's not there, folks, but character is, that's the most important thing. That's far more important, the work ethic, the character. So be careful about that. I've seen it happen, and I probably was guilty myself when my boys were playing basketball. I wanted to play basketball vicariously through them. I wanted them to be better than I was. Does that make sense to you? I was mad at them if they didn't play better than I play. Why? Because I was vicariously playing it. That's my boy out there. That happens to us. We're full of pride. Full of it. So be careful. Your children ought to be encouraged to do their best. Part of doing their best is turning their work in on time. Doing their papers, even in elementary school. Doing their assignments on time in high school. Turning it in, doing the homework. Oh, man, homework. Oh, come on. I had homework. You had homework. If most of that work can be done in class, but don't look. Just concentrate on the character of your child and the work ethic of your child. That's the most important thing. All right, number four, let me say this. Communicate with their teachers, but please communicate biblically. Communicate with their teachers, but please communicate biblically. So what do you mean by that, Pastor? Okay. Communicate to the teacher, not about the teacher. Please. Communicate to the teacher, not about the teacher. Communicate with grace. Isn't that how our speech is supposed to be seasoned? With grace. Watch your tone. Mothers. Watch your tone. I just lost half the crowd, but that's all right. Mothers. Watch your tone. Not just your words, but your tone. Are you asking a question or are you making an accusation? That's all changed by the tone of your voice. And we've had parents, look, remember when Diane Jacoby taught school here years ago? Many of you folks that were here remember that, Diane Jacoby? This building was being built. We were having school partly over there and partly in the, and I forget how it was, part of the rooms were over here. Maybe it was before this building was built. Yeah, before. So part of the school was over here. Part of the school was in the church building. And when I say here, I'm talking about the old gym, the old school building, gymnasium and so forth. And I walked across the parking lot to go into the office over there. And Diane Jacoby came out the back through the back doors and tears just coming down her cheeks. And I stopped her and I said, Diane, did you get chewed out? She said, yeah. I said, a parent? She said, yes. And ask her who. I said, okay. Mom or dad? Dad. Okay. And by the way, that dad came back later and apologized, which is a good thing to do. You can always make amends if you're man enough to say, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. Always. We've had moms come in and just go through the roof publicly in front of people. Folks, that's not communicating with grace. Now, that's not the norm. That's the abnormal. But I'd love to go through a school year without even one thing like that happening. Communicate with grace. Communicate with humility. You know, this may come as a shock. It may come as a startling discovery. It may come as a disturbing reality. You might be wrong about something. You just might be. Well, I don't know until you find out that you didn't know. I don't have to say amen, but that's truth. Communicate with humility. You know, I've said before, you've heard other people say it, you know, in our day, my day in school, and you folks my age, younger even, a little bit older especially, when we got in trouble at school, our parents asked the teacher, what did my kid do? That was the question. What did my child do wrong? Nowadays, it's what did you do to my child? That's what it is. Even within the realm of Christian education. Communicate with the teacher. First with the teacher. Don't run around to another teacher so that you can come to the teacher you have a grievance with and say, well, so-and-so does it this way in her classroom. That's doing an end around. Look your teacher that you're concerned about in the eyeballs. Communicate with the teacher in the manner that pleases God. pleases God. I talked about that last Sunday night in the message on murmuring. The way the man approached me with a grievance that he had. Two or three of them. And I will say this tonight, parents. Look, we're kind of supposed to be working together in this thing. And you say, man, Brother Terry, do you anticipate problems? Was there trouble last year? No, there really wasn't. And I'm just preaching preventative medicine. Preventative maintenance to have a wonderful school year. You know who benefits? When the parents and the teachers, the administration all work together. You know who benefits? The students. The kids. You've heard the little saying, teamwork makes the dream work. And we have dreams for your children like you do. We want them to be God-fearing, dedicated, sold-out Christians who can learn math, science, history, English, some elective classes, know how to stand up and sing in front of a crowd, know how to give a speech. We want that for your child, just like you do. So let's work together. Let's work together. We have 78 kids enrolled in school this year. It's our largest enrollment. It's a wonderful thing. Some of those come from the Spanish church. You know that. So mom and dad, let's work together. Let's have a great school year. School opens on Tuesday. Let's have a school year that pleases God. First and foremost, let's pray together. Father in heaven, I pray that you'll take these simple words tonight. And I pray that you'll help us all. Those of us involved in administration and teaching and those of parents that are in this room. God, some had most of them been in the school previously, maybe a couple of new ones. But I pray, God, that you'll give us a wonderful, wonderful year. And I pray that the end result will be young people who have a tremendous time learning about you and learning the biblical worldview for every subject that they are taught. I pray that you will give our teachers incredible wisdom and stamina and endurance, Lord, and patience. I pray that you'll give all of us, parents, administration, teachers, all of us, the teamwork spirit to see these young people reared in the nurtured admonition of you and your word. And I pray as the students come that they won't come with a chip on their shoulder, but God, I pray that they'll come with an attitude of teach me. Make me. And Lord, whether that means they're an A-plus student or a B-minus student, I pray that you'll help them to have character and work ethic. And Lord, especially as we try to teach some of the traditional values that are so dear to us as American citizens about our country and authority and so forth, I pray that there will be a generation of young people being reared in the homes and the church and the school here who are plugged in to right. Plugged into truth, plugged into serving you first and foremost. May you please bless the year. Thank you for the church that's behind it. Thank you for those who give their time, they volunteer, they help. Thank you for those who pray. God, I pray, I just ask you to give us a great, great 2021 school year. Keep us well, keep us safe. I pray, Lord, we'll be able to go the entire year with no interruptions. Help us to, Lord, deal with decisions that have to be made concerning this or that. Most of all, may Jesus Christ be lifted up, exalted, and glorified, is my prayer. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I didn't preach tonight because I anticipate trouble. I preach tonight because I don't anticipate it. And I can preach freely up here and say, folks, let's move ahead to a great, great school year. Dad, Mom, look. You shoulder the burden. We're here to help you. We're here to help you with that responsibility. Let's work together. Decide now how you're going to handle things. And decide now what you'll believe and what you'll wait and talk to the teacher about. Decide now to communicate with grace. Decide that now. Your students, in your hearts, where you sit tonight, decide. Let's have a tremendous school year as we open the doors. In less than, 36 hours. May it be so. If you're not saved, any time the Spirit of God speaks to your heart about salvation is the right time to get saved. whatever decision you need to make in your heart tonight as God has spoken to you. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and we have the invitation time. Let me encourage you. You take a step to the Lord, and He'll take a step toward you. Let's have a great, great, great school year. Students, parents, teachers, administration, everybody. For those of you at home, may God bless you in your efforts to educate your children as well. From a biblical worldview, in a very, very troubled world, may God make it so. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, give your child to the Lord again. Pray in your heart for your child's teacher, for those of us that will lead and make decisions. And just pray that God gives us a tremendous 2021 school year. May God make it so, is my prayer. Thank you. Father in heaven, we give this service to you, give these truths to you. I pray they would be met, accepted, received, Lord, with all readiness of mind. And again, ask you please for a wonderful, wonderful year in Jesus' name. Amen.